Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the Union Naval.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome aboard. I'm having yours, Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Thank you so much for joining us. If this is your virgin voyage, allow me to share with you our mantra. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedroom, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. We feel there exists this cavernous gap separating the two orthodoxies, and that it's a gap comprised of many degreed thinking people who can argue quite passionately in shades of gray. And to that end, each and every show, we have fine guests to help best illustrate this point. Today is no exception. Also, if you wish to hook up with us on the web, it's www.alannathan.com. Don't forget that email address, alan@alannathan.com. That's A-L-A-N. Coming at you live and strong each and every Monday through Friday at this time. Don't forget the classic Alan Nathan Show, Saturdays, 6 to 7 p.m. And overnight Sunday mornings, 3 to 4, all times Eastern. We are indeed a Main Street Radio Network production. Please check us out at mainstreetradionetwork.com. Feel free to avail yourselves of our nascent but always robust Twitter and Facebook options that we have there for you. And, of course, with great dispatch and alacrity, we love to thank our distributor, the Salem Radio Network. That's right. And the Alan Nathan Show is now entering its 28th year of national syndication, all thanks to you, reaching about 800 towns and cities across a couple of hundred radio station broadcasts each week. Again, all thanks to you. And by the way, I don't care if you're part of the authoritarian left or perpetually clueless right. Please get out of the thought control business. And also a very quick shout out to my stations who've been taking me over 2.5 decades. A big thank you to them. Of course, also a thank you to these podcast networks who are picking us up more recently. We're talking about Listen Notes, Amazon Music, Amazon Music UK, Amazon Music India, Amazon Music Italy, because on and on. We've, of course, been picked up by Apple and obviously Spotify. Very happy about Spotify. CRN Talk's been taking us for years, a radio network unto themselves. You can check them out at crntalk.com. We're on their channel 4. They also take us via Roku, where they put us up there via Roku. But again, without my audience, none of this would have been possible. So to you very directly, thank you, thank you, thank you. Our topics du jour, as you may have heard, well, while every poll shows most having believed that Iran was a serious nuclear threat that had to be stopped, support is actually mixed over Trump having stopped said threat. So why the cognitive dissonance? Also, former Hillary Clinton and DNC advisor Dan Turrentine, he says, quote, Trump did not need congressional approval for one precision attack under the circumstances, unquote. And the guy's blasting his fellow Democrats, demanding his impeachment for destroying Iran's nuclear capabilities. Are these folks ever going to learn? I mean, they were fine with Obama doing it. I mean, he's bombing the living daylights out of Libya. Also, Bill Maher crushes Whoopi Goldberg for saying that blacks are as oppressed as women in Iran. And he also insists that Democrats need to do something about The View. But let's face it, can you ever repair a damaged collective IQ? Without further ado, we have assisting in the opining and analyzing offer to the show, former Congressman John Fleming, Republican for the great state of Louisiana. He has served the good folks out of the 4th District. Dr. Fleming has been a physician for over 40 years. Under President Trump, he served as assistant to the president for planning and implementation, assistant secretary of economic development at the U.S. Department of Commerce, and deputy assistant secretary of health IT at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services as well. Congressman, great to have you back. How are you today?
Hey, thanks, Alan. Great to be back with you. And one thing you left out is I'm currently treasurer of the state, the great state of Louisiana.
How do you ever have time for breakfast? You're pulling more hats out of your purse than,
right.
Oh, my God, Mary Poppins would from her handbag. Anyway,
I said I love to serve. Love to serve the people.
Well, it shows. Manifestly so. Let me ask you, Trump, in the polls, again, It seemed to be an odd development. Now, he's doing far better than the Democrats. He's doing about the same as his predecessors, you know, the same as Obama did, the same as Bush did. I mean, he's doing about the same. Even Reagan had his low points. He dropped in the low 40s in his first term and the low 40s again in his second term. And the guy wound up leaving with a 60% rating. So Trump's apparently doing about the same. But the ones who are doing terribly are Democrats. They're in the low to mid 20s in virtually every poll on the issue. Yet they seem to still think that they can offer lectures from Mount High. But alongside that is this oddity, because while virtually every poll shows most having believed that Iran was indeed a very, very serious nuclear threat that had to be stopped, there was a mixed reaction to Trump having actually done such a thing, having actually stopped that threat. So why the cognitive dissonance in your estimation?
That is a great question, Alan. And just to be sure, this was a precise and surgical strike to end the very, very dangerous nuclear program that Iran was working on. I was in Congress when Obama basically gave away any control we had at that time with that Iranian deal and then sending billions of dollars in cash, which then was turned around and used against us by terrorists. But in answer to your question, it's this. I think the vast majority of Americans are happy that we can be relieved that Iran is not going to send a nuclear bomb to Israel or to any other country, especially the U.S. However, you know, our track record has not been that good when it comes to attacking countries. Somehow we get bogged down oftentimes, like in Iraq or Vietnam, where we're somehow
But I want to interpose, if I can, respectfully want to interpose. There's a difference here, though, because I think we are blessed by the topography of Iran. It makes no sense to try to put boots on the ground there. The country is geographically super protected. Where you don't have mountain ranges, you have deserts. So it's very impractical. Right. But we can reach them by plane. You know, Bill Clinton showed when he did his bombing against Milosevic, he proved that it is possible to prevail with air power alone. And I remember when he did, a lot of Republicans admitted, hey, we didn't think he'd pull it off, but he did. Bill Clinton prevailed with bombing alone against Milosevic, with the whole Kosovo-Bosnia thing going on. He prevailed. So it can happen. And also, when you have something like these bunker-busting bombs, where they each weigh like 30,000 pounds and only 24, but only 6,000 pounds are with explosive. 24,000 pounds is the wrapping paper, you know, and it's with guided technology drilling it into the ground. I mean, my God, six dropped pretty much in a row. What I think was accomplished sends a very clear message that we don't really need a whole lot of troops on the ground when we can pull what we just did. Or am I being overly sanguine about this, Congressman?
Alan, you're absolutely correct. I don't think that Trump has any plans or need to put troops on the ground. That was really the point I was getting to. Is that prior, previous presidents have done so. They've rebuilt nations, and we've lost a lot of lives. Trump has no interest in doing that. There is no need in doing that. I think that that regime will fall anyway because it's very unpopular among the people. The only real issue we have and interest we have is that they do not have a nuclear weapon, because they have vowed every day, ever since they took over in 1979, I'm talking about the theocracy, the Muslim theocracy. They vowed death to America every day, and fortunately this will put a stop to that.
And that's so important, Congressman. That's so incredibly important, because you have people and some in Congress saying, well, we got to impeach the president because he did this without congressional approval. But that's a spurious argument, because when it comes to imminent threat, everybody has the right to defensively act militarily. Do they not? I mean, you got Democrats with some Republicans imbecilically claiming that Trump's removal of these nuclear facilities somehow violated the Constitution, international law. But isn't this untrue, since imminent threat always justifies defensive military action? And that's whether you're talking about the Constitution or international law. I mean, even the IAEA pointed out that they were very close to having nuclear weapons. They're the ones who voted against Iran very recently, and I think that was one of the green lights Israel got. What say you?
Well, the Constitution and precedents have all backed up the fact that the commander-in-chief can take such actions. And, you know, it would be impractical for us to go months debating the very details of a military action against Iran. We would be tipping them off as to what our strategy would be. So, again, Democrats, they always want it both ways. They want their presidents to be able to do it, but not Republicans.
Exactly. And I mean, let's face it, Obama often used the military without congressional approval. I mean, the guy dropped over 26,000 bombs across seven countries. Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, Yemen, Somalia, Pakistan. And it got that high simultaneously because he was bombing when that new front opened up in the battle against ISIS. A battle, by the way, that wasn't won until Trump came in office and did it in about 6 months. I mean, the double standard is gagging. Congressman, if you can, sir, hang on the line for just a moment, folks. You're listening to the Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network. Stick with us.
Being a soldier, it's always fun for us when the month of June rolls around, getting to celebrate the Army birthday. I think for this year specifically, it's sort of extra special as we celebrate, you know, a quarter of a millennium of service here, 250 years of, you know, the Army's story of service, its lineage, its history, its traditions. Throughout history, 250 years, the world has changed so much. The challenges have changed. The battlefield has certainly evolved. These uniforms that the American soldier wears have certainly changed many times. One thing that we like to believe has not changed, though, are sort of the timeless values of the American soldier. For myself and many like me that serve in our present-day Army, getting to get up every morning and put on this uniform, we like to believe, you know, paying respects and in homage to those that came before us and paved the way so that we could have the Army that we do today. Heading over to GoArmy.com would be a tremendous place to start, or for a younger crowd, Instagram also works. Any one of those would be a great idea to go find out more.
Pickleball is the country's fastest growing sport and has increased 311% in popularity over the last 3 years. So how do we stay fueled and ready for action on the court this summer? Sports dietitian Dawn Jackson-Blattner shares her advice.
I'm teaming up with Eggland's Best to power up pickleball players with great nutrition. Eggland's Best eggs are packed with nutrients that help you stay energized and promote muscle recovery. Before a match, try my portable protein cookie bites or whip up a crispy quinoa omelet for post-match performance. Both are made with Eggland's Best eggs, which have 6 times more vitamin D, 25% less saturated fat, and double the omega-3s compared to ordinary eggs. They're the nutrition powerhouse to keep your game strong. Now through July 15th, you can enter the Eggland's Best Pickleball Power-Up Sweepstakes. Enter daily at ebfamilysweeps.com. No purchase necessary for a chance to win exceptional prizes like $5,000 plus EB and lifetime pickleball gear.
You can enter once daily at ebfamilysweeps.com.
My baby brother, a father.
Come on, it's time for his nap.
Whoa, he can't sleep on his stomach. Babies should always sleep on their backs in a safety-approved crib, and the sleep area should be clear of blankets, toys, and other loose or soft items. It reduces the risk of SIDS.
SIDS?
You know, sudden infant death syndrome.
Guess I need to start studying up on safe sleep for little man here. Being his favorite uncle comes with big responsibilities.
For more information, visit safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov, sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development. You want to give your baby everything, so start with a safe sleep area. Babies younger than one should always be placed to sleep on their backs on a firm and flat surface like a safety-approved crib. And keep blankets, pillows, and other soft or loose items out of the crib when the baby is in it. Learn more about safe sleep for babies at safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. Sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence.
Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
People on the congressional side of things, especially the Democrats, are upset that President Trump didn't seek congressional authority beforehand. They weren't always upset. Previous presidents have done similar things and targeted strikes like President Obama. How do you see that debate playing out over the next week?
Yeah, well, I mean, for me, I'm sure. I mean, there's going to be a lot of people in my party that are going to disagree with the strike in Iran. And I actually support that. I've been always calling for that thing. I think it was entirely appropriate. And again, there might be votes on that. So for me, that's not a war. That was a very limited military exercise. And it struck that. And then that's where we're at. So really, it really wasn't about unconstitutional or it's anything like that. It was like a very, very limited military engagement, and then it took them out, damaged them severely.
Exactly. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Of course, you've got Democrats with some Republicans now crazily claiming that Trump's removal of these three Iranian nuclear facilities somehow violated the Constitution and international law. But this is provably untrue, since imminent threat always justifies defensive military action, whether you're talking about the Constitution or international law. I mean, give me a break. Give me a break. You not only had the Israeli intelligence saying that it was an imminent threat, you had our own CENTCOM, the head of it, General Michael Eric Kurilla, making it abundantly clear that there was an imminent threat. And if those weren't credible enough, you got the UN's IAEA. They formally voted to say that Iran was in violation of the 1970 Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty and that it had been close to generating 9 nuclear bombs, which Iran had always threatened to use once created. Use against who? People that didn't like in the Middle East, like Israel, and of course, America. So once that vote happened, Iran's imminent threat posture unambiguously justified defensive military action, did it not? And that's why Senator John Fetterman from the great state of Pennsylvania was saying what he was saying just now when he was being interviewed by Fox News' America's Newsroom with Dana Perino. She asked him about Democrats being upset Trump not getting congressional authority before striking Iran, noting they weren't so upset at previous presidents like Obama for doing the same thing. Remember, he went ahead and bombed the living daylights out of Libya, and he did so without any congressional approval. And Fetterman replies that, yeah, there's going to be some upset people about it, but to him, it's no big deal because it really isn't about starting the war. It was about this very limited strike to preempt war. Anyway, without further ado, we have assisting in the opining and analyzing, old friend of the show, Congressman John Fleming, Republican from the great state of Louisiana. He's been a physician for over 40 years, and maybe he can do something to assist us in what's ailing some of our crazy debates these days. Dr. Fleming, good to have you back.
Yeah, thanks, Alan. Great to be with you.
And I appreciate you sticking around like you are. Well, Senator Fetterman, he's had a tendency, or penchant, if you will, for detouring from his party when he believes they're in the wrong. And he's been doing this quite frequently as of late. I'm wondering if this guy just might not switch over to the other side. Your take?
Well, it makes you wonder. When you hear a Democrat making real good sense and is very logical in their thinking, you really have to wonder what is going on there. I know that Democrats are really on his case because he's actually saying things that make a heck of a lot of sense.
No, he really does. But what I'm really ticked off about is this anemic argument holding that for some reason, this was unconstitutional or a violation against international law. Imminent threat always validates defensive military action. I mean, it's universally true. And again, the left had no problem when Obama pulled his unilateral acts. And by the way, he did so when we did not have an imminent threat facing our country. The guy, as I mentioned earlier, dropped over 26,000 bombs across 7 countries: Yemen, Somalia, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria. I mean, And the Democrats were fine with this. It just seems as if they're often the embodiment of the very thing they claim to oppose while still expecting to be taken seriously or am I being too snarky?
No, I think there's always been a double standard when it comes to Democrats because they think politically first. What is it that's going to benefit them, get them more votes and more elections? And they take whatever position does that rather than what provides the best outcome. Remember that it was Obama who sent in troops to kill Osama bin Laden, really an existential threat at that time, just as Iran is now or was recently. And so, there was universal praise for President Obama, both Republicans and Democrats, for that. But once again, had that been a Republican president that went after Obama, you better believe there would have been criticism.
Oh, well, hold on. We don't have to put, so that's, we don't even have to be hypothetical with that. When Trump took out Soleimani, I forgot his name. Oh, yeah. My God. The top general of the IRGC. He was ridiculed by the Democrats, even though that general had killed hundreds of Americans. And there was a predicate upon which Trump based his decision, and it was that string of deaths. But you're right. Yeah, the Democrats somehow thought of that as an outlandish act, even though Obama had done far more against those who did far less against us. Now Osama bin Laden, that was perfectly righteous. And both Democrats and Republicans applauded him on it. But yeah, you're correct. I mean, once Trump goes after somebody who kills many Americans, for some reason, it's a different story. Soleimani. God, it just came to my head.
Right. You always have to go after the head of the snake. You've got to cut the head of the snake off, and that's what both Obama and Trump has done, and reasonably so. It's just the Democrats can't allow a Republican to do that and get praise for it. But, you know, the commander-in-chief has a right and a duty to do this. You can't debate these issues and their strategies for months in Congress. It makes no sense whatsoever. The Constitution,
not if you're talking about an immediate threat. Yeah, not if you're talking about an immediate threat. Oh, my God. And Dan Turrentine, you know, a former advisor to Hillary Clinton, as well as the DNC en masse. He said, you know, clearly too many people in my party are suffering from Trump derangement syndrome. And he's a proud Democrat. He wants to always stick with Democrats. He wants to see them win future elections. But he says, in the aggregate, his party is embarrassing itself by threatening impeachment for that which has no difference when compared to his predecessors.
Right. So it's all about politics. It's all about control of government, and that's not good for the outcome of the nation. Democrats need to come back where they were 20, 30 years ago and act what is in the best interest of the nation, regardless of what the politics say.
Yeah, and I agree with you, and I say this as a former Democrat. Now, I'll never be a Republican. I'm an aggressive centrist, very proud of the fact that this is the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist program in the country. I am socially liberal, not to be confused with progressives, because they're authoritarian little pieces of crap. But at the same time, I have to agree with the Republicans when it comes to the Constitution. I embrace it with the originalist approach, not the living document theory, which, of course, would always ensure that our... all of the protections under a Bill of Rights would be less guaranteed simply because of the age of its text. That's ridiculous. And therein lies one of the big reasons why Democrats are falling out of the sky like a plane on fire, because there's no cohesion to their thinking. Anyway, Congressman Fleming, always great to have you on board. Folks, you're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network. Going to be right back.
It's not the glamorous part of world travel, but picking up a preventable virus instead of an exotic souvenir is a guaranteed way to ruin a trip. Whether planning a family vacation, mapping out a solo adventure, or traveling for work this summer, the CDC is urging travelers to think beyond the suitcase when it comes to preparing for a trip abroad. Dr. Amy Lynn Safady gives us some tips for overseas travel.
The CDC recommends consulting with a healthcare provider at least 4 to 6 weeks ahead of your trip to allow time to prepare. Depending on where you're traveling, there may be vaccines you should consider or be required to receive. CVS Pharmacy has many necessary vaccines, such as Tdap, hepatitis B, typhoid, cholera, Japanese encephalitis, and more. Availability varies by state. Also, be sure you're up to date on your prescriptions and have an ample supply on hand to last the duration of your trip, plus extra just in case of travel delays.
You can make appointments for yourself and your family by visiting CVS.com or with the CVS Health app. Summer has arrived, presenting great job opportunities within the travel industry. Pilot, the largest network of travel centers with nearly 900 locations across 44 states, is hiring 7,500 team members. With weekly pay, training, support, and competitive benefits, Pilot is committed to supporting its team and helping them make the most of their miles. Abby Bilbrey, field recruiter at Pilot, shares insights on the company's commitment to hiring as summer travelers hit the open road.
Pilot is hiring 7,500 team members called Journey Makers across our travel centers, on-site restaurants, and tanker fleet. We seek driven, reliable, authentic, and welcoming individuals to ensure our guests are fueled up, filled up, and lifted up for the road ahead. Join us to be part of a company that continues to show people they matter at every turn.
To learn more or to apply to become a journey maker, visit jobs.pilotflyingj.com/national hiring.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here. Probably. Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach, celebrating our 28th year of national syndication, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist show, actually in the world. Coming at you live and strong each and every Monday through Friday through across about 200 radio station broadcasts. Also now picked up by Listen Notes and Amazon Music, Amazon Music UK, Amazon Music India, Amazon Music Italy. Of course, Apple's picking us up and Spotify, of course. CRN Talk has been taking us for years. You can always check them out at crntalk.com, radio network unto themselves. We're on their channel 4. They also carry us across Roku, and it goes on and on. But again, without you folks, none of this would have been possible. We're covering a number of things here today. While every poll shows most having believed that Iran was a serious nuclear threat that had to be stopped, support for some reason is mixed over Trump having stopped said threat. So why the cognitive dissonance? Also, former Hillary Clinton and DNC advisor Dan Turrentine says, quote, Trump did not need congressional approval for one precision attack under the circumstances, unquote. And he went on to blast fellow Democrats demanding his impeachment for destroying Iran's nuclear capabilities. Will they ever learn? And I say this as a former Democrat. Again, I'll never be a Republican, but I don't know what the hell happened to my old party. Also, Bill Maher crushes Whoopi Goldberg for saying that blacks are as oppressed as women in Iran, while he also insists that Democrats need to, quote unquote, do something about The View. But again, can you ever repair a damaged collective IQ? I can't stand people who make assertions of racism without premise are actually committing racism in the name of fighting it. Why? Because they're using race to intimidate dissent. And when you think about it, that actually fulfills one of the mission statements of racism, does it not? Anyway, I don't want to get astray there. I want to go ahead and introduce old friend of the show. We haven't had him on for years. I mean, years. This is former Senator Robert Turricelli. He used to be known as the Torch, Democrat from the great state of New Jersey, a state where I was raised for quite a while, Bayonne, Fairlawn, you name it. Also Wayne Patterson. anyway, in 2000, he headed the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee, which, regained the Democrat majority in the Senate. He also was a representative from New Jersey's 9th District. And he's chatting about the fact that while in Congress, he actually was a leading voice for a free Iran and has been an advocate for such a thing for the past 3 decades. Senator, good to have you back. How are you today?
Thank you for having me. Nice to hear all those New Jersey towns. Feel like home.
Yeah, it was a trip. I'm also a New Yorker. I was born in New York, but lived in Britain for about 3.5 years. And I remember parts of Jersey very, very, very fondly. I want to get right to this. We have a lot of Democrats who have taken umbrage with their fellow Democrats calling for an impeachment over this act, even though they were quite tolerant of Barack Obama having done even more. Your take on this?
I don't really think that's a serious criticism. It's just kind of take advantage of the moment for political points. The history of American presidents taking military action when there was an imminent threat to American forces or otherwise advanced American interests, absent actually a declaration of war, is replete. I think almost every president has done something similar. I remember Bill Clinton taking military action. Ronald Reagan did against Libya. Obviously, George Bush did against Afghanistan after 9/11. It's not a criticism that, frankly, should be taken very seriously.
I mean, really, I mean, the Washington Post recently said the president needs to explain what he wants to achieve. And I'm thinking, you guys are kidding, right? I mean, the guy wanted to achieve the neutralizing of Iran's nuclear weapons capabilities. And he's been saying it since 2015. And he's been saying it in response to Iran promising for years that it would, quote unquote, would destroy the great Satan America as soon as it was able. And I think whatever might be thrown against us, is it fair to say, Senator, that among those things will not be Iran's nuclear weapons because Trump has, quote unquote, achieved the destruction of those weapons. Do I have it about correct?
Yeah, I think the president, anytime military forces are used, owes the American people. He needs to articulate exactly why and what the circumstances were. But on his, absent him doing so, we can fairly well decipher it. There were negotiations. He gave them a deadline. These discussions have gone on for years. He clearly came to the conclusion that they were not being serious about it. I could have saved him the trouble. They clearly were never going to be serious about it. And at some point, these things need to come to an end. Now, whether the Israelis are right and they're going to come to a nuclear weapon in a matter of weeks, or American intelligence is right, it may have been months, frankly, doesn't matter. They decided to have a nuclear weapon. They were moving towards it. Nothing dissuaded them. The world cannot tolerate it. It is far too dangerous. It was plain and simple the right thing to do.
I got to agree with you, Senator, because I think it's provably untrue that the Constitution was violated or international law was violated because, again, imminent threat always justifies defensive military action, whether you're talking about the Constitution or international law. And again, it wasn't just Israeli intelligence, and it wasn't just our own CENTCOM, pardon me, you know, courtesy of General Michael Eric Corella. It was also the IAEA. I mean, if those sources weren't enough credible, beginning jump-off points confirming Iran's imminent threat to both the Middle East and America, we even had the UN's IAEA. I mean, they formally voted to say that Iran was involved. Yeah, they said
there was a confluence of information. You're exactly right. The data came from all sources in all different directions, not all of them that would be supportive of the United States military. Nevertheless, all signs were pointing. They were violating the limitations. They were purifying fuel beyond any justifiable explanation. This is a country with one nuclear power plant. And it was purifying fuel far beyond the needs of a power plant, no less one. There's no other credible explanation for what
exactly
they were doing.
Exactly.
And I actually thought that the offer that President Trump made to them was actually fairly ingenious. The last offer was you can be part of purification, join with the UAE and Saudi Arabia and Bahrain and the United States, come up with a consortium. You'll have a guaranteed source of fuel. We'll take the spent fuel. You'll own part of it. You'll be part of that process. I thought it was a very clever and generous offer. When the Iranians reject that, you can it's transparent.
You know what they're up to. You know what they're up to.
Exactly.
There's no question left. And also the IAEA, just to get it on record, they did formally vote to say that Iran was in violation of the 1970 Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty and that it had been close to generating 9 nuclear bombs, which, again, it had always threatened to use once created. Once that vote happened, I think Iran's imminent threat posture unambiguously justified defensive military action because, as you said, they didn't need to have 60% enriched uranium. I mean, what do you need, like 3% for a nuclear facility? You need maybe 20%
for
medical isotopes? 60% enrichment? Give me a break.
Yeah, no, there's no credible defense of the Iranian position. Constitutionally, we've lived with this for years. There is this constitutional conflict the founding fathers never really addressed between the president as commander-in-chief and the Congress's role in declaring war. We've been over this for decades, this internal conflict. But I don't think this one's on the edge.
No, I don't. And let's not forget, he also has that oath. He's sworn to protect the Constitution of the United States. Well, you can't protect the Constitution of the United States without an existing United States. So if there is an imminent threat, and it's one that's traveling at a greater speed than Congress's ability to vote on the matter, then clearly, as a matter of language, unless, of course, language is no longer tethered to the meanings of the words that comprise it, as a matter of language, you've got to do what can be most quickly accomplished versus what might result in widespread death. Isn't that fair to say, Senator?
It's fair to say, and the president made very clear that we are not going to war with Iran. We don't have a conflict with the Iranian people. He needed to eliminate this capability. And it's America's intentions that that's the end of the matter. It may or may not be based on the Iranian response, but that's American intentions. That is a long, long way from a declaration of war that would involve the powers of the Congress. I've seen much, much closer calls than this.
Oh, my God, yeah. And also, there seems to be a double standard approach to this. I mean, Obama, he dropped over 26,000 bombs across 7 countries, right? I mean, Afghanistan, Yemen, Libya, Syria, Somalia, Pakistan. I mean, a lot of this had to do with he was going up against ISIS, something that didn't, you know, we didn't prevail until Trump took over, and he did it in about 6 months, I think. But still, congressional Democrats were perfectly tolerant of all these bombs that Obama had been dropping, and it does seem to be beyond a double standard when they start chastising Trump for that which they tolerated from Obama. And I think the double standard is so loudly self-evident that they're not going to get anywhere, even for political points. Or am I being overly sanguine about that, Senator Torricelli?
No. In fact, if you wanted to spend the time, I bet you I could take you back to the Kennedy and Johnson administrations and give you an example of every president who has served since who undertook a military action that is more aggressive than this and did not have congressional authority and did not need it.
Actually, Senator, if you wouldn't mind, sir, hang on the line for just a moment. Folks, you're listening to the Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network. Going to be right back.
Whether you're looking for a relaxing getaway, a family-friendly adventure, or a magical experience, a cruise could be the right choice this year. Travel expert Jeanette Seha has some inspiration.
I love cruising because it offers the opportunity to experience adventure while only unpacking once. With a Disney cruise, for example, you get three vacations in one, seeing the world while also enjoying the luxury of a hassle-free ocean cruise and the magic of a Disney vacation. All Disney Cruise Line ships have been designed with families in mind, with spaces and entertainment dedicated exclusively for kids and adults to enjoy on their own, and even more for families to experience together. There is something for every member of the family. The entertainment is second to none, with Broadway-style entertainment on board and spectacular fireworks at sea. Disney Cruise Line has four ships sailing out of the state of Florida, plus ships sailing right now in beautiful Alaska and Europe this summer.
It's not too late to book your summer travel. For more information, visit DisneyCruise.com. When you or a family member are diagnosed with a chronic illness, everything can change, and caregivers learn to manage complicated care schedules on top of their own daily lives. Tricia Fitzgerald is a mom who's been managing treatment not only for herself, but also for her husband and their six children, all of whom suffer from some type of chronic illness. She explains.
Raising a large family is challenging with busy schedules, school functions, let alone when everyone has a chronic illness. So it's important to make sure you have a strong support system. Managing so many medications for eight individuals can be daunting, but CVS Health is my rock. Anytime I have a medication or insurance question, I know who to call for guidance or answers. CVS is a huge corporation, but it feels more like a small-town pharmacy down the street where we've known each other for years, and that makes such a difference when I'm managing care for the chronic conditions my family faces.
For more information, visit CVSHealth.com.
Are you excited about being a new grandmother?
Of course I am. A little intimidated, too.
Why?
Taking care of a baby today is so different than when I had you.
But, Mom, you did great with me.
Thanks, son. But I put you on your stomach to sleep.
Right. But now we know that babies should always be placed on their backs to sleep for naps and at night to reduce the risk of sudden infant death syndrome, or SIDS.
You also slept with blankets and toys in your crib.
True. But now we know to keep everything out of the crib except for my sweet baby girl. No blankets, pillows, or other soft or loose items.
Daddy's going to teach Nana all the ways to keep you safe while you sleep. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
For more tips on safe sleep for babies, visit safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. That's safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. Sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave. But unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for that.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives. To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
It is so grossly unconstitutional. All of you know that the only entity that can take this country to war is the U.S. Congress. The president does not have the right.
United States should not be in an offensive war against Iran without a vote of Congress.
The procedure should have been that Congress was briefed before we decided to enter war and that we actually had a vote on it.
New York Congresswoman AOC Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez calling for President Trump to be impeached.
Well, I mean, a lot of these people are misinterpreting what the Constitution actually says. The president does have, under Article 2, Section 2, a limited executive war power authority. He's also made it clear that this is not an actual declaration of war against Iran. It was the elimination of the nuclear programs that were a great existential threat. We know that we've had tens of millions of people cross our borders. We know there's potential sleeper cells within the United States. If you could imagine, if you will, the idea of a dirty bomb being snuck across a border that had been enriched and created in Iran.
To get congressional approval to do anything about it. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. We're listening to an exchange on Fox News's Fox and Friends with Todd Pirro. He played a number of clips, first of Senator Bernie Sanders, independent out of Vermont, Senator Tim Kaine, Democrat out of Virginia, Representative Ro Khanna, Democrat out of California, all saying that Trump should have gone through Congress before striking Iran. Todd also notes that Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez out of New York wants Trump impeached. Representative Corey Mills, Republican out of Florida, had a different take. He says that these folks are misinterpreting the Constitution, perhaps deliberately, adding that Trump made it clear that this was not a declaration of war. Rather, it was just eliminating their nuclear program, which is a threat to us. Again, anytime we're confronted with an imminent threat, the president does not need a declaration of war before responding to it. And when the IAEA of the UN, the International Atomic Energy Agency, the UN's atomic watchdog, says, hey, these guys are weeks away from forming 9 to 10 nuclear bombs, that constitutes an imminent threat, denotatively or connotatively. Let's get real. But again, the left are demanding that Trump be impeached for supposedly violating the Constitution, for simply removing Iran's nuclear capabilities without their approval. Give me a break. Even for, here's the thing. I want to get to my illustrious guest here in a second. But even former Hillary Clinton and DNC advisor Dan Turrentine says, quote, Trump did not need congressional approval for one precision attack under the circumstances, unquote. And he later added that his fellow Democrats are embarrassing themselves by making such an argument since Obama and other presidents had often used the military without congressional approval. I mean, again, who could forget Obama's attack on Libya without any go-ahead from the legislative branch? Isn't it funny how the Democrats were okay with that? Isn't it funny? I mean, folks, there's hypocrisy, and then there's hypocrisy doing a sweat-dripping pole dance. Or perhaps I'm being too strident. Anyway, without further ado, we have assisting in the opining and analyzing old friend of the show, Senator Robert Turricelli, retired from the great state of New Jersey. Matter of fact, I like to mention that in 2000, he headed the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee, which regained the Democratic majority in the Senate. Also, he's a representative from New Jersey's 9th District, and very happy he could stick around with us. Senator Turricelli, appreciate you hanging out. And you said you could offer more examples of where presidents in the past have had no compunction in regard to using the military for short spurts when it would seem to benefit the security of the United States, even after Congress had not yet weighed in. Take it away, Senator.
Well, I'll go beyond short spurts. How about John Kennedy sending trainers to Vietnam before there was even a Tonkin Gulf resolution? How about How about Lyndon Johnson going into the Dominican Republic as an invasion when there was a coup taking place? How about Gerald Ford with the Mayaguez incident in Cambodia when they seized an American ship? I can go through every president in my lifetime, and I will give you one or two. These are not declarations of war. These are defending national interests, using the power of commander-in-chief to protect Americans or our forces. If Donald Trump had decided to go to war with Iran, you would know it. There wouldn't be one building standing in Tehran this morning. We did not go to war with Iran. We had a limited objective to ensure they did not develop a nuclear weapon. They were given every opportunity by successive presidents over many years to avoid this fate. They lied, they cheated, they obfuscated, deadline passed and deadline passed. The United States has nothing to be embarrassed about. We were patient. We gave the benefit of the doubt. We gave them multiple opportunities, but they took us for fools. Looks like we're not the fools.
No, we're not. And I think the left are going to find that they're going to fall apart under the weight of their own unsubstantiality, to borrow a page from Hillary Clinton's rhetoric, on the issue of the illegality, or the alleged illegality of what Trump did. And what they love to do now is talk about how, oh, we should have given the Iran nuke deal more of a chance. But Iran was getting a 24-day heads up before inspectors could arrive at undeclared sites. And that naturally allowed for compromising of evidence, right? I'm not talking about the isotopes that don't disappear after 24 days. I get that. But there were also things called like PMDs, possible military dimensions. These were tools for building bombs that would have also been in violation of the treaty. And by giving them a 24-day heads up, that evidence could have easily been made to disappear. And then also, most importantly, Iran had these quiet side deals with the IAEA that specifically permitted Iranian government personnel to be in charge of handing soil samples to the IAEA whenever the IAEA did want to inspect undeclared sites. I mean, I got to ask you, Senator, since when did the subjects of investigations get to participate in the chain of custody that manages the very evidence upon which their guilt or innocence would be predicated?
But I think you can go a step further. There's through these years, I've been very close to the Iranian diaspora, the opponents of the regime who are around the world who are trying to get regime change in Iran. It's part of what brings me to you today. They have been providing evidence to the world and to the United States government that the Iranian government actually has developed and opened nuclear sites that have been unknown to the United Nations. Wow. They're still developing clandestine sites all during this process. They have no credibility. I cannot believe that anyone takes a stand believing that Iran should have been given more opportunities or that their explanations have any value. I'm going to fall back on, because you're an active Democrat, and I also will always be a Democrat. What troubles me most about American politics is the lack of consistency. A Democratic president would have done exactly the same thing, just as right now the Republicans are passing a tax bill that expands the deficit when they criticize Democrats for not balancing the budget. Can't we get some intellectual honesty in the process?
No, that's true. That's true. Although I think it should be noted that tax cuts do generally generate more revenues than are initially incurred as a tax cost. We found that with Reagan. We also found there was a windfall of tax revenue from Trump's tax cuts. But I take your point. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.